that verse in the middle of Genesis 3 that we read, verse 15, the first messianic prophecy, not to go too heavy this morning, but the first telling that the Messiah would come, that ultimately he would come and leave a tomb empty, even though it doesn't say that explicitly. Ultimately, our Lord this morning finished and fulfilled the work. He overcame the curse, the very beginning after man sinned. It was always prophesied that our Lord would come forth from the tomb, and that was his mission. That was his life's goal, was to save a ruined people, sinners that didn't deserve it. He came to, as 1 John 3:8 says, to destroy the works of the devil. And in so many words, that's what he did as we celebrate this morning. That glorious sunrise, those ladies that were so terrified yet in great awestruck, in great joy of what just occurred. As they go to the tomb and there's nobody there, not the person they were expecting. I've never seen an angel this side of heaven, at least I don't think I have. Maybe you have, maybe you have not. But to see their shocking faces this morning would be quite the sight to behold, wouldn't it? Two men in white and robe, powerful. They are angels of the Lord, sent from heaven so that our Lord would indeed crush the head of the serpent. This is one of the, if not the greatest, relief promise that is fulfilled in our Lord as well. Because he didn't just shed his blood to merely shed it, but he did so victoriously. One of the great things I enjoy to read quite often is the reality that our Lord is the only one who checks the box of resurrection. No other God does. None. And even when Lazarus is raised, God had to do it. The same God as Jesus Christ. Get up, Lazarus, come out from the grave. If he can do that for a human being, he can assuredly do it for himself. The joy-filled experience of the women brought forth a response. And it's early, and it's a little dreary, and for some it's a little chilly. But for those ladies on that day, what it brought forth was exuberant and joy-filled worship. That's what it brought forth for them. They didn't leave the tomb all somber and sorrowful. They're full of joy. Is that our response this morning? Is that our response? Joy. No more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. There is a glorious future in which we have to look forward to. And it is in Christ. That is those glorious words of 1 Corinthians 15, isn't it? Where is your power, O death? Where is your sting? Where is it? Sin, where is your command? No more grip, no more hold does it have any longer. This is why it is so quite incredible that our Lord rose from the grave. This is no small event. There's something that man has tried over and over again to deny or put away because of all of the reality in which it signifies. This is the hope we have. This is what sets Christianity apart from any other religion. It is what our Lord did. I'd like to read for you a few verses out of Galatians 4. I think it beautifully summarizes both the horror of our sin and the glory and the greatness of our Lord at the same time. This comes from Galatians chapter 4. It reads this: "So also we, while we were children, we were enslaved under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." That's that glorious truth of Christmas. "And he did it for a reason, so that he might redeem those who were under the law." That's you and that's me. That's his purpose. That's his mission. That's his goal. Why did he do it? That you and I might receive adoptions into the heavenly family, the godly family. That's why he did it. "And because you are sons, if you have put your trust in Christ this morning, indeed God sent forth the Holy Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." And we could go on and we could go on. And yet this is where we begin this morning. We begin at an empty tomb. We begin with joy. We begin with exuberance. We begin with delight. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.